just so thankful, Lord, tonight. And we have this promise in your word, Father. It's a promise, Lord, that should never get common. The promise that says wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there you would be right in their midst, Lord. And Father, your bride is all about bringing you on the scene. For you said to her that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. And the fact, Lord, that we are in this world is that there's a purpose for us. That you have that purpose, Lord. And we stand tonight, Lord, desiring, Father, to fulfill that purpose. Lord, I pray each one just pushing back the spiritual amnesia, Lord, tonight. Lord, that we can recognize all that you've called us from the foundation of the world, Father, to bring forth that part, that portion, O God, that you've called us to within your body. That your body, Lord, can be fully and completely expressed. Help us, Lord, we pray. Lord, in the great needs, Father, that are out there, oh God, have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Just move away the lethargy or anything, oh God, that is hindering your spirit, Lord, from flowing through us. Father, have your way. Glorify yourself, oh God. Not just tonight, Lord, but every day, wherever we go, at our jobs, at the stores, Lord, with our neighbors, Father, with our relatives, oh God. Lord, time is winding down. And so, oh Lord, we pray that you help us to redeem the time, because indeed the days are evil. Help us, Father, we pray. We commit everything, Lord, in your hands. This we pray. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 You can just have a seat for just a minute, if you would. If that's okay. Amen. The Lord is gracious, and we're thankful to see you all here tonight. Just Lenore, you're sitting over here. It's nice. Brother Andy, God bless you. Good to see you. Amen. I'm so thankful to the Lord. I just want to thank the Lord for His grace and His mercy. And I know that there's a lot of things that are going on right now. And I just stand amazed at how dark the hour is. When I talk to ones, particularly my own family, and how they've got a certain mindset, you can hear they're listening to a different voice. It is really getting to be a time where up is down and down is up. And but for the grace of God, amen. And we just have to stand all the more loving, amen, certain in our hearts of what God has done for us, and that His word is true, and that as such we stand as lights in this world. Let them call it what they may, it doesn't change the fact that God is revealing Himself, amen. And we have a duty, and that duty is by God's grace to get the last seed in. Amen? So, I'd like to just read a few quotes first, and then if you could, we're going to turn our Bibles. You can turn there now if you want to. We're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 16. Just kind of lay a little foundation here with some quotes. Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, Let me record that this morning, friend, that there isn't enough power in hell can ever defeat the purpose of God. God will do it anyhow. Okay, that's one thing. Let us establish firmly in our hearts that regardless of what happens all around us, God is in control, and He never has ever lost control. Amen? And He was never surprised by any situation that we find ourselves in. Amen? So, that's just a truth, an unshakable truth. He goes on to say, the pregnated person with the seed of God, the Word in there manifesting itself, so surrendered to the will of God, that the Word and the Word alone manifests itself to this person, the prisoner to an individual. Now, this is something I just want to lay down here. Again, this is a foundation, so bear with me. It says, my church has nothing to do with it. It's an individual, one person. All hell is against this teaching. All hell is against this truth, but it is the truth. Now think about that. All hell is against this. Jesus never said, now Peter, you and John and all the rest of the people, you've got the revelation, now the whole church is saved. No. It was to him personally, I say unto thee, not them, to thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the word Peter means a stone. Stone means confessed one or separated one. Upon a certain stone, upon a certain thing, see, called out a church, called out upon this stone, upon this revelation. Flesh and blood never revealed it to you, but upon this revelation, called out group, I'll build my church in them, and all the gates of hell will never be able to withstand it. Okay, so God does not change. He's in control of all things, and we have this promise that the gates of hell will not be able to withstand the church. Amen. That revelation, the church standing on that revelation. He said, not one hair of your head shall perish. You are mine. I'll raise it up in the last day. Give unto him eternal life and raise him up at the last days. There it is, the revelation. Not them, but him, an individual, not a group, an individual. All hell is against it. So keep that in mind. Again, it's to the individual. In Christ, in you, God in you, is a majority. Amen? Amen? So we're going to wade into a little bit of all hell is against area tonight. So, and it's important because we need to see where we are and who we are in this day. Amen. If you don't mind, let's turn to Matthew chapter 16:5. And I do want to greet all those that are online. God bless you. May the Lord richly bless each one. May the Lord give you something. Amen. Even as you listen. And we're very needy. If you can stand to your feet one more time, please, in honor of His Word. And when His disciples, this is, we're going to pick it up with the fifth verse. And when His disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, just break to us the bread of life, we pray. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, you have a seat. It's an unusual place to stop. But obviously we're going to build on something because this is kind of where we are in a lot of ways. We're right here. Amen. So let's just keep reading on down. And the Lord give us comment here as He would. And Jesus said unto him, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Okay? Not very spiritual. You know, they were walking with Jesus. Okay? And he made that statement, and they assumed it's because we have taken no bread. Obviously, very natural-minded. But that's a lot of times where they were is where we find ourselves oftentimes too. Very natural-minded. And let's just watch Jesus' response. Amen. Verse 8. And when Jesus perceived, he said, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have no bread? You know, when Jesus sees faith displayed like the centurion, he said he marveled. He marveled. You know, I wonder too, when we wade into areas of unbelief, that he walks into areas too of marvel or incredulous, really. Unbelievable, right? O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning the bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the bread, the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Okay, so you had this layout here. You had this little interaction. They had forgotten bread, and they're walking along, and Jesus speaking to them to beware of the leaven of the Sadducees, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they had this reaction. Oh, it's because we forgot bread. And Jesus looking back at them, just incredulous, really? Don't you remember what it was? How much bread did we have at that time? We fed 5,000. How much fishes did we have at that time? We fed 4,000. And not only did we feed them, how many baskets did we gather up again? Are you really worried about bread? Honestly. I mean, I'm talking kind of in that vernacular so you understand, you know, where he's coming from. Amen? Now, we'll continue on just a little further here. Matthew 16:13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, now this is like later on in the day, okay? Just further on, just right after this, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremiah is one of the prophets. I want to ask you something. Do you think Jesus really concerns himself what other people think of him? You know, the real question was, whom do you say that I am? In fact, if they realized whom he was earlier, they would not have worried about bread that morning, right? Or however long it was. They asked him the question, whom do you say that I am? Amen? Of course, we know what happened. And Simon Peter, the 16th verse, answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Okay? Now we know what Brother Branham said about this verse. We know what the Catholic Church believes about this verse. They believe that it was founded on Peter, because after a while, Peter translated means a stone. Okay? Little stone. And that's where they got the succession of popes. But we know that that isn't the case. And the Protestants, they come a little closer. They said that when Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, but upon this rock," pointing to himself, "I will build my church." Now that sounds good. We know that he is the cornerstone. He's also the headstone. But he also is the framework of the body, because each one of you, each one of us, are members of that body. Okay? And he is the head. And Brother Branham said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father has revealed it to you. And upon this rock, the revelation of who Jesus Christ is." Amen? Who do you say that I am? Amen. And now that makes immense sense, because only as the believer recognizes who he is, that it is in him, and how that Christ, making up his body by the believers, is the believer able to defeat the devil. Right? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay? Peter asked the The disciples were asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And so, my question to all of us tonight, who do you say this is in you? Who do you say this is? Where is your revelation? Where is my revelation tonight? Amen? By this revelation, the bride is able to thwart the devil. I'm reading out of the Church Ages book. Upon this rock, the rock of the revelation of who Jesus is the church founded on, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now remember this, Christ is the true church, is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of his word right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits working within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it, but we will prevail against them. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's a long reading there, but really powerful. And I'm sure every one of us has heard that at least 12 times or more, you know. And the trouble is sometimes we could hear something over again and again, and it begins to lose its impact because, oh, I've heard that before. I've heard that before. But we're at the place and the point where it's no longer hearing, but we must yield ourselves to the Lord that he causes it to be a reality in our lives. And I believe it. Again, God does not change. Amen. And the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. Amen. Amen. Let's drop down to Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. You see, when we come to Christ, he wants us to have a total abandonment of ourselves. In response to his great love, in his response to his power, in response to the fact that he paid it all, I'm going to go over that here in a little bit, that we in turn, we give wholly ourselves to thee with nothing doubting. Amen? And in that, in turn, he promised that he would provide all of our needs. He promised that he would provide our protection. He promised that he would lead and guide us. Now, when I say protection, I'm talking about our soul. Okay? I'm talking about where we're ultimately going to end up in heaven. We don't know what's going to happen to our body. And I don't want to say that to frighten anybody, but I believe that the Lord will give to us supreme faith in the supreme hour. Whatever it is that we have need of, the Lord is going to provide for us. Even when they were stretching those saints on the rack and doing different things like that, God had given to those people the spirit of an ox. He'd given them an anointing to go out to meet the Antichrist with what they were being confronted at. And all that, God, our Lord, was watching over his people. He was protecting. He wasn't going to lose a one. Amen? Amen. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Amen. I pray that all our works are yea and amen. Lord, you are more than able. Whatever thing, no matter how short I come in myself, my inabilities, my stumblings, my slippings, any unbelief, Lord, just burn it out of me. Whatever it is, Lord, just have your way. And then if I gain any crown at all, it's because he put it there, not because I earned it. And of course, the only thing you do with the crown is you give it back to him, because that's the one who it belongs. Amen? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his fathers with his angels. He shall then reward every man according to his works. Verily, I say unto you, that there be some standing here, which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And we know that that happened because John was taken in the Isle of Patmos and he was seeing the Lord's day. He was able to get a vision, to be caught up, if you would, and to look and to see exactly what was coming. And that which is coming, we're beginning to see with our own eyes. So I could even say, there's some here shall not taste death until we see the Lord's coming. Amen? Where we'll be caught up and changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We see the flashing red lights of his coming everywhere. So again, my question to each one of us tonight, who do you say that is in you? Amen? This is the time that realization becomes great upon us, where we realize to see our place, our position, and his presence with us. It has to be such a reality that whatever happens, whatever we're confronted with, nothing can shake us. Nothing can shake us. Hebrews 12:27 says this, And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, it's going to take a great shaking down for you and a great shaking down for me, but by God's grace, we're going to make it. So this shaking that we feel is God's predestinated way, His method. As the eagle stirreth her nest, getting rid of all those things that are hindering us, all those things that are keeping us grounded, if you would, planted in the nest when we're supposed to spread our wings out and to catch the thermals by faith being lifted up. Amen. Amen. And this word, verse 28, wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for God is a consuming fire. For God is a consuming fire. He'll burn out all the dross, everything in our life that's hindering us. He's a jealous God. He doesn't want anything to get between us and Him. I'm thankful to that tonight. I need it. I'm so grateful for that. Amen. What a promise in dealing with the Pentecostal people. Okay. Brother Branham makes a statement here. You can read it in the unconditional covenant that God made with His people. He makes a statement. He said, you're scared. That's right. That's true. You're just scared to take God at His word, and you don't know who you are. See? If you only realize what position you are in heaven tonight, there'd be something take place. Think of this. Many of the people are trying to put these blessings off in the millennium somewhere. The Bible said, now are you the sons of God. Not will be. You are right now. Right now are you sons of God. Right now we are seated together in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Brother Branham, again, his ministry was to show that Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He wasn't just the same back in the days of Jesus' corporal body, or just during the days of the apostles. Not even, 60 years ago in Brother Branham's ministry. If it was just leaving in Brother Branham's ministry, we might just pack it up, right? That isn't why He came. He came to demonstrate that He is the same in every way except for in His corporal body. Amen? He says, when you think now that you are sitting by a son of God or a daughter of God, as we're all sitting here, amen, and you are the same as they were, and Christ Jesus is tabernacled in you here on earth, showing His great manifestations of His blessings and power, willing that everyone should be saved, everyone should be healed, none should perish. I tell you, if you could really fathom that in your mind, I tell you, you wouldn't have to have any prayer for the sick. It'd just be all over. But you have to see it first. And you can't see it. You certainly can't understand it. We need to see it. We need to understand. Who do you say this is that is in you? Amen? Now I want to speak for a few moments upon who we are, why we are, what we are, and who we are, and why we are, and what we are. And I would like to title it, and then he goes on, about the unconditional covenant that God made with His people. So that's what Brother Branham's purpose was, to get us to see our position, our place, who we are. And what we are. I mean, I was sitting out there, for years in a Catholic church, and I tell you, I never heard anything like this whatsoever. Everything was supposed to go, through the man that was standing behind the pulpit or behind the altar, right? And behind him, I mean, it just went all the way up to another man, who was up there. And so I heard nothing like this to understand that we have a place, we have a position that we are to assume. And the place that I assume is not the same place that you are to assume, because every one of us is given a unique position in Christ. But it is God that is calling, God that is establishing, God that is the one that is putting each one of us into His body. And He's doing that for a purpose, And the way that we can understand what that is if we have the revelation of who Jesus Christ is and who he is in us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, when you get that in your mind, he's talking about God's sovereign grace. It's nothing that we do. It's unmerited grace. It's his favor, his grace to us. Not by any merits of our own, anything that we've saved, but God's sovereign grace called you to Jesus Christ, and that only. Now, when you get that in your mind, settle down, that it's nothing that you can do about it, you'll find out the same thing works by healing. Think about that. If God will help me in a few moments, I'll show you that healing is on the same basis. That's right. It's just God's unconditional covenant, not what you do for him. Okay? Healing is on the same basis as salvation. Not what we do, but believe. Amen? Amen. It's not what I am, who I am. It's the perfection of Jesus Christ and God that died in my place to make me what I am. It isn't whether I can stand, I can't. It's whether he stood in my place. Amen. You see how complete that propitiation is. We get to the place where we see we're every bit out of it. Amen. It's all him. Just like Jesus said, be ye perfect in heaven as my Father is perfect. How is that possible? It isn't. He's the only perfect one. So unless we can get to that place, we fail to see how sinless we are. Oh, you object to that. But again, it's because we're looking at the wrong thing. If we look at Christ, he is the sinless one. He took our place perfectly. We stand sinless. We stand perfect. Amen. Spotless bride of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is spotless. He took her place fully. He identified himself with her in taking on all the sin and everything and nailing it to the cross. He is our propitiation. He paid it all fully, completely. 1 John 2:2, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He paid it all, 100% completely. Amen. Amen. Not anything can stand when you walk in that revelation that he is our propitiation. That doesn't mean that it is a get-out-of-jail-free card, that because he is my propitiation, and I stand sinless, and therefore I can do anything that I want to, that tells me that I'm not changed yet. I'm not born again. I don't have that revelation of that transaction that tells that he took my place, that I could stand in his place. And as such, then my hands are no longer my own. My feet are no longer my own. They can't be because I'm bought with a price. Not even my own mind is my own. I can think different thoughts. They can be according to God's word or they can be not. But only as I yield my thoughts over to the Lord that I find myself being transformed, as the Bible says. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So my actions then declare to the world of my salvation. I don't do those things to be saved. I do those things because I'm saved. Amen? Amen. Just like a sheep bearing wool. You don't paint, or I love how Brother Branham says that, you know, about sheep. It doesn't take wool and like a little dog, and we'll just paste, you know, glue wool to it and make it a sheep. No, it doesn't work that way. It's not what you put on. It's what comes out from the inside out. Naturally, you just feed the sheep good nutrition and so forth and give it what the sheep needs. It just bears wool because of its nature that's in it. And if you, by the nature of God inside of you, you will bring forth his fruits. Amen. And again, it isn't you, it's Christ in you. Amen. He is the captain of our faith. He goes ahead and leads every believer according to his own divine counsel. And this is very, very important, because where God would lead Sister Mary Ann, he wouldn't necessarily lead us whatsoever. And I don't have to feel condemned because I don't feel led like she's led, because God is leading me differently. He's not all hurting us in one direction here on earth, because there is no sanctuary here on earth. The only sanctuary that there is in Christ. And that's why wherever he leads you to, whatever his will is for your life, whatever his will is in my life, wherever he takes you, he will also preserve you. Mm-hmm. Amen? If I step outside of his will into something that he did not lead me to, I may able to get hurt. Okay? Because I'm stepping outside of his protection. Amen? That's why Brother Branham said, before I go anywhere, I get down, I fast, I pray, I find the leadership of the Holy Ghost, that when I step out onto that plane, out into that tarmac there, I say, I do this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the devil can throw whatever devils that he wants to. It won't make any difference, because Christ is the captain. He goes ahead. Amen. 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 Hebrews 2:10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, to bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And we suffer by the things we learn, right? We learn what his will is through what we suffer. Many times that's how we learn. That's how Brother Branham learned. When he went there to Africa and he followed those men, even though he knew not to, he said, well, just go ahead and do it anyway. And he paid. Oh, he paid. He paid a great price. He got sick. He came back, took an amoeba, and him and his son. And he was sick for months. He thought he would die. It was terrible. But he learned. He learned, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how you could naturally explain it, well, if I don't go with those men, all my support is going to go too, right? Every reason you naturally of why he should have walked with those men, you know, you can explain it away, but the trouble was, it was not the will of God. He walked in the permissive will of God, and he paid for it. He learned a hard lesson, okay? And that's the same way with you and I. When we go and do things in the flesh, we learn. We learn by the things which we suffer, and we learn how to walk better. The next time that Brother Branham then was confronted, he was on his way to Israel. Remember that? And everything was set up. Brother Branham, we've got all the meetings, we've got the room, everything was all rented. The invitation was given out, right? And he was right there in Egypt, getting ready to get on the plane to go over there to Israel. He was that close. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Voices, don't you go. Was that him? He went around to the side to get by himself. And the voices, don't you go. It is not their time yet. It wasn't time for a prophet of God to come into Israel. The light hadn't gone to the Jews yet. That would have totally disrupted the plan of God. It wasn't right. So he changed his ticket. He flew on into Europe. Okay? He learned. And he learned at that crucial moment, it was more critical for him to obey the voice then than it was in Africa. Amen? So the Lord allowed that, amen, to instruct his prophet, and he'll allow things in your life, in my life, to instruct us as well. We learn by the things which we suffer. Amen. Hebrews 2:11 says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So the Lord Jesus is our brother. Amen? Amen. He also tells us that we should take no thought as to what we should say if we're taken before the council. that he would put words in our mouth. Mark 13:11, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, and take no thought beforehand of what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. We're supposed to be so rested in the Lord. Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, perfect faith overcometh every circumstance. Perfect faith, that's not quite the word. Perfect faith masters, thank you, every circumstance. And that's where he wants us to be, walking in that perfect rest, that no matter what comes our way, that faith that is in us will master that circumstance. Amen? Amen. He's our mediator. He is our mediator. Hebrews 9:15, for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they that are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Aren't you thankful for that mediator tonight? I know that I am, but who is he that is in you? He is the mediator of anything that you have need of. He is the mediator. But you know what he wants us to do? He wants to take that mediatorship, if you would, and to be an intercessor. An intercessor to enter into the needs, enter into his heart, enter into that which you see all around us, the great needs, that we play the part of an intercessor. I pray truly that the spirit of intercession would just come upon us all. I feel him brooding over us, that we may act that part. For the needs around us are great. People dying, right? Yeah. The Bible says the righteous are taken, and none take it to heart, not realizing against that evil day, or because of the evil day, that they are dying. There is a time coming, and they're taken out of the way. Why is that? They won't have to go through it. Yeah, God rich in mercy. Amen. He is the creator. He in you can create anything that you have need of. Now, that's a tough one. Why did Brother Branham have all those experiences, speaking, you know, squirrels into existence and speaking storms out of existence? Speaking, healing, Sister Hattie, Sister Meadie. Why? Just to show him that he had faith? No. No. He said that. He said that which we see, the third pole, right now, we see it kind of amateurish. Not that that was the third pole, we talked about that, but that was a manifestation of that third pole. He says that what we see now, he says, wait until the squeeze comes. We'll see it in its full manifestation. That isn't in Brother Branham's ministry. It's in the bride of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because the Creator is in you. Whatever you have need of. And if we opened up and we started writing the book, there's a number of the saints all along have spoken storms out of existence, have need of food, and food was provided. Like that one sister in India about that crock that always had meals. She'd dip into it and it would always come full. Every promise or every miracle you see in the Bible, some member of the bride experienced it in the body. Again, just a little taste of it. I was speaking to Brother Ben Beard and was just down there in Missouri, and he was telling me a little bit, and just a couple of testimonies I will close so we can have communion, because it is communion night. But he said that things were going really bad for him because he was a contractor, and he was overstretched in this very large project, and the man he was dealing with was not honest and basically did not pay him money that he had coming, and he says, I was totally broke. I had absolutely nothing. We go to the cupboards, and the cupboards are bare. There was just no food there whatsoever. And I was feeling just crummy. I was feeling dejected. I was sitting there in the living room talking to my wife, you know, and we're just in prayer. And just like that, just something came into my wife's heart. She says, you know, honey, the Lord promised to meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. I'm going to go right to that grocery store, and I'm going to go buy groceries. I'm going to trust the Lord that you know, I'm just going to go and buy groceries because I know he said he'd provide. And they says, okay, honey, before she was even able to get out the door, there was a knock on the door. And here was a man, a neighbor. He said, you know, I know you do construction and so forth. He says, I've got this little project here. I've been wanting this for a long time to do this. All I need is this big sheet of wood, plywood or whatever, just tacked up here on the side of my house. I'll pay $100. He says, brother, it only took me 10 minutes to do. But from that $100, we're able to buy groceries and meet our needs. Isn't the Lord good? Now you think that isn't a miracle. I tell you what, when it comes to timing, how just right at that given time when they expressed faith, the Lord came on the scene. And isn't that something? He even spoke to his neighbor to come right at that time. Not the day before, not the day after, right at that time. So God is to speak and work through anybody to bring his purpose to pass. Amen? I was speaking to Brother Wilcox also down there, kind of along the same line, the same subject. He was in Alaska, and there were special meetings right there. He drove 320 miles to get there. All he had was $20 in his pocket. Now, that was enough money for gas to go home, okay? But the Lord prompted him to take that $20 and put it in the collection plate. To give. There was a need expressed, and he felt that the Lord prompted him to take that $20 and to give it. And after that, he had nothing. There, only what little bit of gas he had in his tank, and there wasn't much. He would not have enough to get home. But he had confidence. He gave it, and service ended. He said, before I made it out the door, a brother grabbed me by the shoulder. By the arm, he says, Brother Wilcox, the Lord impressed upon me to give you this. He handed him a $20 bill. So, you know, what is that? Uh-huh. Walking in obedience. When his obedience was complete, then the Lord could give out the blessing. And sometimes we are stretched to that point, amen, and the Lord is wanting us to exercise our faith. He's waiting on us to exercise our faith. Because only then can he move on our behalf. Amen? God is able to do that. He is the creator in us. He is able to do that. Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, so matter what you have to put up with, miss a few meals and so forth, for the kingdom of God's sake, what difference does it make? We're heir of all things. The Bible says, we was. This world belongs to us. Blessed are the poor in heart. For they shall see God. Amen. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. All are ours through Christ Jesus. All are ours. Why is that? You and I, we belong to Christ. He is in us. What is he? He is everything that we have need of. Amen. Everything. Lord, help us to walk with him. We'll see more of his hand, more of his miracles. I'm just going to stop right there. There's a lot of things I could add. Amen. Let's just turn to Romans 8:31 to close before we change the order of the service. Brother Don comes up here. Very, very familiar verse for us. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads here. Good. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful indeed that you are all in all. You are everything, Lord, and if we think we have anything at all in it, it just brings us to shame. Anything we do of ourselves, Brother Branham said, only leads to our disgrace, disfavor. Father, we want your favor. We want your smile. We want to just see you elevated and exalted in every aspect of our lives. Lord, apart from you, truly, we're nothing. And Lord, you are our boast. You are our joy. Father, I pray if there be anything that's hindering anyone from entering fully into you, Lord, tonight, especially here in communion, I pray, Father, you help them lay it aside. Lord, anything at all, Lord, whatever it is, whatever you put your finger on, knowing what, I've got quotes here where Brother Branham talked about love. Love is such an important part. Your prophet even said, without love you can't even get into that place. Of course, we know it'll be you with that transaction that'll bring it. We understand that. But even as we interact, Father, with one another, with those people out in the world, it's a tremendous power, your love, and a revelation, Lord, of who you are in us. Glorify yourself, O God, and bless each one, we pray. We ask it in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Musician? Oh, Brother Don.
We have seen, and we will see more as we walk with him each day. Brother Greg, who's going to serve with you tonight?
I didn't know.
Okay. Would you come? Let's get ready.